Episode 340, January 8th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson. Joe Show without some more audio situations. We're still figuring out this brand new studio, Joe.
So Robbie just said to me, I'm going to type in there when you're supposed to go. And I sit there and watched it. Oh, here he goes. Now he's yelling at me. I said when I... Go ahead. I'm waiting, Robbie. Start. Okay. Now I got it. Okay.
So we are... Joe and I are in the new studio in the new Robinson home. Robbie is back in his home. He's able to hear us and put us out live, so we have the chat room tonight, but we cannot hear him.
Yeah, and Robbie types in all caps, too. I don't know if you noticed that.
He's one of those guys. He's an all-capper. So the show will be without Robbie tonight, but he'll be in the chat. He'll be contributing that way, and he'll be texting us angrily, I'm sure, over the things that we've said. We also just did a bonus show without Robbie. So all of you trying to get your Robbie fix this week, we're letting you know right up front. The other theory I have is that this is working just fine, and Robbie sabotaged it so that he can watch The Bachelor tonight.
Is The Bachelor starting tonight?
It started last week. It's off and running, Joe.
Does it conflict with the national championship?
You know what? It's normally on Monday night. Maybe it's not on tonight, but I think that's a different audience.
No, but I'm. What do you think the overlap is?
Well, I think it's usually 8 to 10, the show, and then the championship.
Talking about people that have watched both the national championship game, because there are a lot of female fans in SEC country.
Yes, in the South, there are. I would say most people are football fans, regardless of gender.
Yeah, especially in the South.
Yeah, in the Georgias and the Alabamas, the Mississippis, for sure. Especially in Alabama and Georgia, where the two teams that are playing. And the game is in Atlanta, I believe.
If you listen to the bonus show, you can hear Rob getting into an argument with a actual female football fan.
Yeah, a Vandy person. I thought Vandy was a smart school, but maybe not.
Now, one other thing about being a Patreon, there's a picture, of Scott Apple that you cannot see unless you're a patron. If you see it, but today I took a picture of Scott Apple, and I cannot believe no one would see this picture and guess him over 10.
No, there's no chance.
He's in his 30s.
But I would still take a 10-year-old versus Scott Apple in a music quiz.
So let me say this. So we had trivia at my office.
All right.
And the way we played it was we did TV and movies and TV, and then we did music. Now, movies and TV, the way we play is Scott gets a chance to answer it first. And if he knows the answer, then he gets it.
Okay.
And if he doesn't answer it, then I get a chance to answer. Now, I only beat him by like 3.
Really?
For TV and
Shocking.
Movies. Well, he gets a chance to answer first. If we're just both yelling out the answer.
You're going to get it first, but...
But if he... But in this case, he got had an opportunity to answer it when he couldn't. I got to. So basically, you know, it's you know, who's the star of TV's MASH? I mean, just it's the easiest questions in the world. But he doesn't know anything. Who played Arthur Fonzarelli? He doesn't know, you know.
Right.
But he knew a lot of stuff. But then we did music. We played it the same way. And it was 36-3 when we quit. Now, this is with him
getting first dibs.
Yeah, he gets, like, what musician's nickname is the boss?
Right.
Doesn't know. Comes to me, Bruce Springsteen. And, you know, they're like, he's like, man, just because you, you know, you're sitting around studying music. No, everybody knows this. Every person but you and Gramps knows this. You know, when Gramps...
Who would wear a white glove? I don't know. I don't study music.
Yeah, so... Gramps says, how about we do a country music quiz? I don't think Gramps would do well in a country music quiz. I don't.
No.
I genuinely don't. So I'm willing to give Gramps a... I'll tell you what. I will take on Gramps in a country music quiz. I'll bet you I beat him.
And we're going through all eras of country music.
Sure. Whatever era you want to go to.
Okay.
I'll go all the way back from the early days of Hank Williams all the way up to... the guy on The Voice, whatever the hell, Blake Shelton.
How many contemporary country music stars can Gramps name?
He can't name any of them. He doesn't know who Blake Shelton is.
Okay, does he know who Miranda Lambert?
No, he doesn't know. He doesn't know, you know, the Florida Georgia Line. He doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Sugarland.
No, he knows none of this.
The Zac Brown Band.
No, he doesn't know that. He doesn't even know the Dixie Chicks and Shania Twain.
I bet he knows Shania Twain.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't even know Reba McEntire. Like, he goes all the way back.
On.
I'm telling you, his knowledge he thinks is limited to Johnny Cash and Hank Williams Sr., Crystal Gayle and Don Williams. That's it. You got it. That's it.
And he knows Hank Williams Jr. just because of
he
Hank
Williams. He doesn't
know.
I bet you. I'll tell you right now, Gramps, in chat. Text, now we'll know because of the amount of time. Type in chat one song sung by Hank Williams Jr. One song. Type it in chat.
He has a really famous song.
He has a couple of famous songs.
Well, one, I mean, because of the other. Because of when it got played all the time. I think it's... Are they playing that now again?
Yeah, you know what? I saw him. I guess he's no longer a racist. I just saw... it was him, but they have Jason Derulo on it. That guy, Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
So I guess... Oh, he's with a black guy, so it's okay.
Right.
And then they have another guy, and I think he's a Hispanic. Anyway, they have three people in
Pitbull.
There.
Pitbull.
Gramps just said, of course I do. He sang for the NFL. Okay. Okay. What's the song? It's not coming. I'm telling you, it's not.
He's not going to...
So that's what I'm saying. I mean... Gramps thinks that he is good at country music. He's not going to be good at it. He's not, because he's in this very tight window. Look, Jim Amato is giving him the beginning. Okay, fair enough. Keep going. Keep going, Gramps.
Okay, does he know? Name one Garth Brooks song.
He can't.
He's got to be able to say. Garth Brooks is one of the most top 10 famous musicians in 20 years.
Not only that, he has the most country top 40 hits in history.
Yeah, he's an A-list.
Gramps doesn't know one.
He's a Mount Rushmore.
So he's not going to do as well as he thinks that he's going to do. So he's got to be careful about this. And by the way, I will, if these are the questions, all my rowdy friends blank, 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 I'm going to destroy Gramps.
Well, we look forward to that. So what? Now, you had another Apple story that we were going to tell later, but since we went down that road.
Let's go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. So I'm not exactly sure what. Oh, I do remember. The question, it was during trivia.
Yeah.
We were asking trivia questions. And sorry, I'm distracted by Jim Amato putting friends in. Then he put low. Then he put place. Anyway, it's whatever. So back to what we were talking about. So. The question was, who wrote Johnny B. Goode? Now, I assume that since Chuck Berry sang, I assume he wrote it, which it ends up he did. That
right.
was the question, but it said who wrote
it?
But
that was the answer you were looking for.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, Scott Apple knows the song Johnny B. Goode, but he knows it, as we just learned, he watches movies.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows it from Back to the Future. So he thinks that this song was written by the person who played it in Back to the Future. But remember, he's still Scott Apple. So he doesn't know names. So now I already told you, and I wish we could have, I wish it would be good if, Robbie, how about this? Type this, unless I told you already. with the hints you just got, go ahead and pull up that notebook you had, and guess what Scott Apple, who Scott Apple guessed, wrote the song Johnny Be Good. Just give me a little guess if you could.
Back to the Future is the hint. But again, it's not going to be dead on the Back to the Future guess that you would think, because it's a Scott Apple.
Okay, Robbie's doing nothing, so I guess I'm just going to talk. Anyway, okay. So fair enough.
We're communicating. Robbie has control of our computer. It's very complicated.
Okay, wait a minute. So this is pretty good. Robbie just guessed Jeff Foxworthy, which is close.
Oh, that is close.
Which is very close. He said that the song Johnny Be Good was written by Michael J. Foxworthy.
Which seems like that could be a Twitter character or somebody.
Yeah, you're
you
right.
Might have Parkinson's.
Yes, yeah. It's a combination between these two. I just saw this is not, I don't know how much time we're going to spend on this. I forgot about the movie Casualties of War. It was just on TV the
Michael
other day.
Michael J. Fox.
It was just, yes, it was just on.
Sean Penn, is he in that?
Here's who's in it. Okay, it was just on one of the pay channels the other day, and I watched it, and there's one great scene if you've seen it.
It's been a while, but I have seen it.
It's such a great movie. It's based on a true story, by the way.
Jeez.
The story is these five guys go out into the Vietnamese jungle. They find a girl, and four of them rape her.
Yeah.
And one of them won't do it. Whatever. Sean Penn, Michael J. Fox, John C. Reilly, John Leguizamo, Ving Rhames.
Strong.
Oh, my God. And of course, the funny thing is, Michael J. Fox is the star of this movie. He's the star of a movie that stars Sean Penn, John C. Reilly, John Leguizamo, Ving Rhames. Yeah.
You think of as much more accomplished dramatic actors.
Well, you know
especially
what?
Sean Penn.
But that, hey, Casualties of War. Check that movie out if you haven't seen it. Well, it's awesome.
Speaking of movies, you got me the movie pass for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mentioned how I don't do well getting gifts. And if you don't know what movie pass is, basically I can go to any movie that's not sold out or not 3D or IMAX, and I can see it. With this pass, this app, this card, and it's for 6 months. So I'm already feeling the pressure of
seeing a movie.
Yeah, how many movies is if I see that you will have felt that I have gotten, I've paid homage to the gift.
So I need to give that some thought, but I need to tell you a couple things. First of all, I don't know how you would have known you were doing this to me, but I'm waiting for a physical. This is how old I am. I'm waiting for a physical card. I'm waiting for it. By the way, do you have a physical card?
No.
You need to get one. I assume they're sending you one based on the sign up information. How long ago did you sign up for it?
I got an email. It's probably been a week.
Yeah, you should have a card by now.
Okay.
But I didn't know. I thought I was getting the card, which really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I thought I was
coming to your old house, Gramps' home.
Yeah. And I don't remember giving them your email, but I must have. I don't know how they would have known.
Yeah.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. So I'm yelling at these people. I go, guys, I bought this before Christmas. It's now the 10th or whatever day it is. And I'm screaming at them, and I realize now you have it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Here's why it doesn't matter.
Well, no, because if I see zero movies, you're going to be like, dude,
no,
I won't.
No, I won't. Because here's the deal. I gave you a good gift.
Yes.
Right? If I give you a Rembrandt and you put it in the closet and never hang it up, it's really kind of on you. My job is done. I've given you a good gift. Now, you are going to see a movie in 6 months.
Of course.
And when you do, by the way, it's not as easy as you think.
Well, I don't want to hear that.
So I'm going to tell you. So Katie and I have now gone to see, I believe, 4 movies that have been sold out.
See, I never see it right away, though. So.
But no. One movie we went to see was during the day on Friday.
It's called Star Wars, Joe.
No. I told my nieces, excuse me, and nephews that I was going to take them to the movies. And we're trying to figure out a time we could do it. I literally had to leave work early on Friday. And I was going to take them to go see Coco.
I hear that's great.
Yeah. It was sold out. I couldn't see it. I had to go see Ferdinand, some lesser cartoon movie. Now, here's how, and by the way, I didn't use my movie pass. Do you know why? I wasn't smart enough. I didn't know how it worked. Because what you have to do is, if you physically get your ticket, they can't give your seat away. So, meaning, you can't check in until you're 100 yards from the movie theater. So, what happens is, if I saw I, Tonya the other day. It was sold out. couldn't see it. And the reason is we checked in, we went there to see it, it was sold out. But you know what I did then? I said, oh, I want to see the next show. And I checked in and I physically got my tickets, and then you're guaranteed a ticket.
Gotcha.
So if we're going to go to the movies, Katie and I, then I have to physically, on my way home, go and physically get tickets.
See, I'm I don't believe you that you say it doesn't matter. I think if I see zero, you're going to not be upset, but I'll put it this way. It would bring you more joy if I saw 20 movies than if I went zero times.
Yeah, I've only seen two movies on MoviePass so far, but I've owned it for 30 days. But, you know, every time I see a movie in a 30-day span, the movie becomes less expensive. Does that make sense? So you pay $9.99 a month. If you see two movies, they're $5 a piece. You see three movies, they're $3.33. It keeps shrinking. So, and we love going to the movies. By the way, there's a bunch of movies out right now I want to see, because all the good movies come out at the end of the year because they want to try to win the Oscars.
Sure.
And nobody can win an Oscar for a movie that came out at the beginning of the year. I don't know why that is, but that's the way it works. So Shape of Water came out in December. I, Tonya came out in December. The Post came out in December.
And you've seen all these?
I haven't seen The Post because it's weird. Their limited release was like December 22nd, just so they could get it in for the Oscar season. But then wide release is like this weekend or something like that. I haven't seen The Post. I've seen most of the movies.
You do churn them out. You go. See, my concern is that I will start lying to you and saying that I saw a movie. Well, and then and then I'll renew in 6 months just to show you, look, no, I like it so much that I'll renew again. At the end of the day, it cost me $1,000 over 10 years and I will have seen 8 movies.
I gave you a good gift.
You did.
It doesn't matter to me if you don't take advantage of what I've given you. It doesn't bother me. It won't.
No, but it bothers me.
Well, that's on you.
Yeah, it is on me.
I won't care, but I was thinking about this yesterday. By the way, did you watch the Golden Globes yesterday?
I saw some of it. I generally like the Golden Globes. I think it's one of the more entertaining award shows.
Well, apparently it's supposed to be this more laid back.
Yeah.
Right. But it was not laid back. Right now, it's very cause driven now because, you know, it's all about women empowerment. God love you. That's fine. None of it bothers me. But it's not really. It's not this happy-go-lucky fun. Like, for example, every female that gave an award speech, there was some teeth to it.
Yes.
Every one. But James Franco gets up there, he brings that nut job that made that bad movie up with him. You know, I mean, he brings his brother up with him.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little bit of fun, but then it's tough to be critical of that because I'm like, what are you, a fucking dick? You don't care about these social causes?
Right.
All right, well, I care, but that's not really what I like in my... By the way, it's an award show. It's bullshit.
Well,
they had to
do something. The thing is, because they've been sort of outed as like as an industry that has been horrible on that front.
Yeah, and so, things are becoming exposed. So yeah. One thing that I did love. So I believe it was either it was... I don't believe it was on this show, but Robbie aggressively hated the movie, what's called Big Little Lies. Is that what it's called? Not the movie, the show, the HBO show.
Yes.
Whatever it is.
And it won everything.
It won best show in its category. Three of the actors, no other anything had three actors win in this. So they liked the story the best and they liked the acting the best.
Yeah.
But Robbie, you know Robbie, he will not... He won't even concede, hey, it wasn't my thing. He won't do that.
It's got a great cast. I mean, it's on HBO. It seems like it would be good.
I wish he was in here to do it, because what happens is, if he doesn't like something, it's shit.
Yes.
You know, it's almost like I don't sit around listening to classical music, but I don't say Beethoven sucks. I don't do that. But Robbie went to consume it. You know, Robbie, it's just, what's that show that you saw with House on it and Loki?
Oh, the...
Yeah, whatever that
is. The Night Manager.
Yes, you got... Robbie will form his opinion in the first 5 minutes.
Did you ever watch that?
No, I will, though. But here's the thing. So Katie is somehow able to watch TV at work.
Oh, that's a good gig.
So she will start watching something with me. The Handmaid's Tale is a perfect example. And then next thing you know, she's on episode 50. You know, so... There are certain things that we start that I never get to. She actually watched Stranger Things and didn't like it. So I one day I was sick, and the day I was sick, I blew through the entire.
I haven't seen season two yet, other than the first episode. So, have you seen the Big Little Lies or whatever it's called?
No, but look at Robbie.
Oh God,
he's also. He's circling his cursor around what he wrote to make sure he had it. He said, I watched the whole season. I only hated it when it was all over. Well, what does that even mean? You were just loving it, and then it ended. You go, you know what? I fucking hate that shit.
Yeah, I guess that means the ending is bad. I don't know. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back, and somehow, without Robbie having any audio, we will still argue with him. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, Friday, January 26th at Amp by Strathmore in Bethesda. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
So I spent the evening, Saturday night, at the former home of Rob and Joe Show royalty. Care to guess who that might be?
Spent the night.
Not spent the night. I went over for the evening. I didn't sleep over, but there was a get-together, if you will.
What day was this?
Saturday night.
Huh.
January 6th. The former home of a major component of the Rob and Joe Show.
I don't even know where to start.
A huge... Just think of the names that have been integral, that have been part of the...
Dan Knighted.
I mean, that you're on the right track in terms of, but someone...
Are they infamous, or...
I would say infamous to me, but also beloved, now that we know the true story.
Oh, okay. Was it Eric the Actor?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Andy Klein...
Oh, yeah. He
ended up buying the house, basically. So the home of Eric the Actor, Mike Klein... In Ashburn, Virginia, is now owned by his brother Andy and his wife Elizabeth. It was her birthday. It was a birthday party, and I had long suspected—not long, but since we figured out who Eric the Actor was—that his friend and Andy's friend, this guy Mark Hahn, was Captain Cupcake. And I'd always liked Mark Hahn, and I always thought he liked me. And I was like, "Why is he being a dick to me?" I show up, Mark Hahn is there, and I'm ready to go to battle.
Right?
Not Captain Cupcake.
He said he wasn't.
He was
but
pretty
he was convincing.
I
got you.
Yes. And he was super friendly to me, and it was great to catch up with him. And I was like, this guy's very pleasant. He's a great guy. Why would I even think this? And he said that he asked Mike about that. And we were trying to think that maybe it's somebody that worked with Mike, that he wasn't part of that circle. He was part of maybe Mike's work circle, Eric the Actor's work circle. But then there was a guy there who I don't believe that I know, but he seemed to know. He was very friendly. He seemed to know about me because he said, how was the Del Rio show? That's a pizza or Mexican restaurant in Leesburg.
Right.
Okay. And I was telling Mark, because he lives in Leesburg, so to this guy, about our Brightbox Winchester murder mystery. And he talked about going to that. And he seemed to know a lot about me, but he was very friendly. And I didn't know how his connection to Mike was, other than I could, by figuring it out, it was a work thing. But Mark never mentioned him as a possibility. So, Captain Cupcake, you're still a mystery to us.
That guy who... By the way, you post these shows on Facebook, right?
Yes.
So this guy could just be a Facebook friend of yours. But to notice that... Like when CJ Burney posts the show, I wouldn't remember where it was.
Well, if I noticed that it was right near where I lived and that's unusual, that might stand up.
Okay. I mean, is there a way to... Robbie, can't we find a way to get the IP address and at least find the area where he lives?
Because it's been a while since we've tried to figure this out, but didn't we think that Captain Cupcake knew me? Wasn't that... Maybe he was just being fed information.
No, I think he is a local comic of some kind, although his name is in chat as Chlamydia. I'm not sure what that... What's that joke? What does that mean?
I don't know.
because he just identified himself. He actually felt bad for you the other day.
Yeah, I appreciated that, actually, because we were talking about the...
There was two criticisms
the
of
bad
you.
Bad pictures.
Robbie said you were ugly, and I said that you danced like Frankenstein.
Yeah, well, one of those is true.
He came
Speaking of the pictures, we mentioned last week about, you know, getting... I need to get pictures for to clear security in these bases in Bahrain. And I texted, you know, Tommy and Eric and Patrick Melton that, and they all sent me various pictures of them naked and wearing clown noses. And
yeah, no, there was a picture of someone's dick.
Yeah, yeah, good times. And so I end up getting the pictures to the guy, who then sends them to the guy in Bahrain, and they send back that Patrick's and Tommy's are unprofessional. Now, what
did they use that word, unprofessional?
Yes, but I think...
Like they weren't professional photos.
No, I think they meant... In Tommy's case, the issue... Is that he has glasses. Not sunglasses, just regular glasses. And they need to be able to, I guess, see your eyes.
Right.
And then in Patrick's issue, he's making a little bit of a face, which is perfectly fine in every circumstance except for this one.
What? Give me, show me the face he's making. Was it a smirk? Oh, is that what he
a
was
smirk.
Doing?
Yeah.
He's doing okay.
Right. And so, of course, I had to text him and then send me back two more pictures. And I still don't even know if they're right.
Oh, so you got another picture from Patrick, and what could be wrong with that? I saw the one of Tommy, and here's the deal. Tommy is a normal-looking guy, but in that picture, he doesn't look normal.
He looks crazy.
He looks insane in that picture. And I was going to type a smart-ass comment in there, and then I'm like, you know what? I better not.
I'm glad you didn't, because once it goes down a road of being silly and funny, it never ends, and it's so hard to get it back on track.
Well, it's hard to get the pictures.
Yes.
That's the thing that you need. I mean, you don't care where it goes as long as you possess the pictures.
Yeah, give me that, then we can go.
You can
off
do
on
whatever
a
you want. You
right.
can 100 pictures of your dick can be sent as long as, at the beginning, could we please have the actual picture of you?
Well, I wasn't expecting Patrick to get it right away to me because he's in Vegas and this was 10:30 a.m., so 7:30 there. But he did respond that he just woke up and he gave it to me later in the day. I was like, that's fine. Then, like, 5 hours later, I'm like, dude, I need this. He goes, yeah, well, I'm. You could tell he still hadn't really gotten up. Because he sent me, I'll show you this disheveled look. But it'll work, right?
Let me see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, by the way, when they see these pictures of the people that were sent, are you going to shave, Patrick? But hey, whatever. Are they going to be like, who the hell do we hire? Who are we bringing over here?
Well, hey, we'll make the best of it. So.
Yeah, if they, and the funny thing is, even they weren't good with the smirk. What, I mean... Those pictures were they compared to the other shit we got.
Yeah.
The first picture that Eric sent, he was making a ridiculous face. The second picture, he didn't have a shirt on.
But the irony of all this is the pictures that I've been taking, getting taken of me where I look expressionless and horrible. Those are perfect for this.
Yes. They like this guy knows yes. what he's doing. Meanwhile, it's the only face you can make in a
right.
picture.
Anyway, we'll make it work somehow. I can't read that, Jim.
No, I was going to say that Jim Amato's in chat, and apparently there is a... Is it an election? Do people vote on this?
Yeah, they're having a... Mike O'Mara's show's having an ambassador to each state to be the ambassador of, in this case, Pennsylvania, where two, you know, famous Rob and Joe show listeners live, Merle Rogers and Jim Amato. And they are. It's getting nasty. We've seen, jokingly, but it's getting heated in terms of very intense. Nikki Diamond has weighed in. If that interests you at all,
what does Nikki Diamond say?
Nikki Diamond, you know, Jim Amato is the producer of the Nikki Diamond show. It supposedly is going to come onto the network. Maybe we can get Nikki on and talk to him about that. And then Merle Rogers is, of course, the love interest
of Nikki Diamond,
the on again, off again. Yes, and Nikki. I believe the term was that he went with Merle because she puts the ass in ambassador.
So, real quick, Jim Amato said, vote for the producer, not the seducer.
Yes, that was my line. Thank you.
Yours?
Sorry,
line.
whoops. Not my line. Edit that out. That was Nikki Diamond's line.
That was Nikki Diamond's
yes,
line.
No relation. Now, famous Rob and Joe show listener Mac Bergson took issue with that, thinking that Nikki owes... a little more allegiance to his producer. You know, Mac's a very loyal guy.
Like bros before hoes.
I believe that was his exact term. Congratulations, Jacksonville Jaguar fan Mac Bergson. So, I mean, you know, Merle Rogers has come to
they're
Murder Mysteries.
Very supportive of what we do.
Yes.
I mean, Jim Amato has been a great contributor to the Rob and Joe show, and Merle Rogers has used her and traveled and used her hard-earned money to come support our murder mystery. I have to abstain.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to make the hard choice. This is sort of the opposite of the real election, where nobody was particularly happy about either choice. And now you have two great choices.
Hmm. Oh, you're making me pick?
Well, I think between you, me, and Robbie, we'll make him pick as well. That'll give us a consensus.
Robbie already told me who he's picking. But I don't, not just because of diplomacy, but I really, I don't want any of these people to think we don't think that they, you know, I don't want to pick somebody over another.
Well, we know who Robbie picks.
He picked Jim Amato.
Yeah, he doesn't like Merle Rogers' voice. He's on record as saying
okay,
that.
Okay, then I pick Merle. Okay, good. Yes. You have to decide.
So now,
oh, man. Oh, perfect. Okay.
Okay, well, let's look. Let's not look at it what they do for us. Is what would they do to be? How would best? Who would be the best ambassador for the Mike O'Mara show?
I don't care about that. I care about the who would be the best ambassador for our show.
Well, that's are we voting for the ambassador of our show?
I would think so. If we're voting.
Well, I always thought we were voting for who should be for their show. So that way, it doesn't matter. Like, we're not on the hook with our answer. We're just throwing our 2 cents in the debate here. Like, we're voting for the governor of another state we don't live in.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But we do have I do have an interest. Meaning, yeah, we'll benefit either one will be helpful to this show.
Well, with our history of tech issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jim Amato would be the choice. But, you know, I made a little joke about having Jim on board more, and Robbie got all mad at me. So,
oh yeah, Robbie's very threatened by Jim Amato and his talents.
So I don't see, you know, having Merle involved more, whatever, get Robbie riled up that we'd have an issue. Or Jim, because they're a lot of the same, you know, skill set.
Well, unless Jim Amato has one of these $1,500 Comrex boxes, it doesn't matter what he wants to do, but. No, I hear what you're saying. Jim is in chat.
Mm-hmm.
Jim also has done he's provided a lot of content. But Merle has given her cash.
Yes. But Merle lives in a closer part of Pennsylvania than Jim does. Yeah. You know what? I think I have the answer. We want to look at someone who's provided us with content, who has been pleasant in every interaction, and has frequented some of our comedy events and murder mysteries. So the official ambassador to the great state of Pennsylvania for the Rob and Joe show is Scott Berkson.
Oh, yeah. Scott Berkson would be.
There you
has
go.
Has he done content? I don't remember that.
Well, we've talked about, you know, he gets Mac Berkson, the better Berkson battle. That's been. Yeah.
Jim is really lobbying as if whatever we say here will have any effect on what actually happens.
Do you think that the boys at the TMOS will listen to our thoughts?
Oh, do they choose? It's appointed. It's not.
I don't know how it works. I mean, I think they're all stating their case, and I guess at the end of the day, maybe the people in the fan club will vote.
Yeah, well, Jim's in chat, which puts him at another distinct advantage.
But yeah,
Jim, type in chat. Is it a vote, or are you just appointed? Because it's tough. I would guess. And again, I picked Merle.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie picked Jim. So you are the ultimately who's going to decide.
Scott Berkson.
But, I mean, in terms of what they can do for this show,
mm-hmm,
I think Jim is at a clear advantage, right?
Yes, but you could then. But wouldn't you be saying that for the Mike O'Mara show as well? I mean, it's a podcast. So the.
Did you? I just read in chat. Apparently it is appointed. People from each state vote for their representatives. What? There's 50 representatives. Somebody in Alaska is going to be.
I think so.
It's going to be like Senate or whatever. This is
probably
ridiculous.
Easier there.
Who gives a shit if this is what it is?
Remember that Dave Attell joke about, do they have a Klan meeting in Alaska? We all get together. We're going to get Earl. Because only one black guy. Paul Gasari didn't get that, and he got offended.
If you don't know who Paul Gasari is, listen to... you got to be a Patreon to know. But I fucking hate this guy.
Also, we're going to start putting up some more pictures of Katie and Tawanda on Patreon, because we figure they paid for it. You know, Gramps, if Gramps can like these pics, they're good enough for the masses.
Not nudes, but well, I mean, definitely we'll get some, you know,
maybe the bit higher tier.
Yeah, some skimpier outfits, right?
Do you think Katie would do that?
Katie had that.
How
remember,
skimpy would she get?
Well, remember, there was a time when Katie was going to wear this dress to a wedding.
Yeah.
And it was open to her navel. Do you remember this?
Oh, I do. How could I forget?
And I talked about it on 98 Rock, and then she sent a picture. They posted it. They posted the picture.
Yeah.
So she's certainly willing to have that picture out there, and that was as revealing as, I mean, people would like to see that picture.
Would she do a nude photo, but where she's covering herself? Her legs are crossed, her arms are crossed, but she is naked.
I doubt it.
Hmm. What about...
Maybe for the cover of Vanity Fair, but not for the Rob and Joe Show website.
I don't think we can quite get Vanity Fair.
Captain Cupcake says in chat, bikini top and booty shorts, heels. You know what I thought the other day?
Nice.
I never use the word booty to describe an ad. Never.
Really?
I've never said that.
See, Tawana and I say booty all the time, but sort of just, that's just how we refer to that. That region.
You also say, don't you say bae? You say that, right?
As a joke. No, I don't say it seriously.
Oh, you've never called her that?
No, I'll say boo.
You do?
Yeah.
This is so dumb.
I'll definitely say boo.
Really? Does it feel uncomfortable to say?
Oh, it feels right. It feels so
right.
It does.
I mean, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
It does.
And now normally it's more of a text thing. No, I say it. No, it does feel right.
Because if I hear you saying it, it won't like when you try to say dwarf.
Dwarf?
Yeah.
Dwarf?
Dwarf, when you say dwarf. Because Katie calls me bae sometimes. I never call her that. Not because I don't want her to feel love and affection for me, because I will sound so fucking stupid saying that. Bae?
Do you have a word for her?
Well, I say honey. I say that.
Yeah.
You know, but most of the time when I'm calling her, I go, hey, Katie, because, you know, Robbie has the drop. And I notice myself when I need her, I say that, and I'm like, that sounds like the drop Robbie plays. Of course, he's probably playing it right now, right?
Do you know John Buccigross? He's one of the anchors on SportsCenter on ESPN.
Is he related to Paul Gasari, the fucking dick?
I do not believe so. Anyway, there was some controversy where an employee who had, I don't know if she was fired or she quit. That doesn't matter. But she had claimed inappropriate relations or contact with him. But then he had all these saved text messages where they'd went on dates and stuff. And it looked like everything was, you know, fine. But he would call her Dollface. That was his go-to.
Dollface?
Yeah. So now this got posted on all these websites, the transcripts of this chat. So now I'm thinking everyone is just fucking with him at ESPN, calling him Dollface constantly.
Behind his back.
Yeah. No, I bet the guys are probably, hey, what up, Dollface? That's what I would do.
So Katie just texted me, and she said, I'll do it. Now, I don't know what that means. Does that mean the naked picture where she's covering her intimates or the bikini top and the booty shorts?
Well, she'll do that just to go out to the pool.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah. Booty shorts.
Yeah.
Well, Daisy Dukes. Like Daisy Dukes. Yeah. She doesn't own those.
Tawana does.
She doesn't. She has...
You know, she had to buy some.
She probably has bikini bottom. Would you rather see a Daisy Dukes or a bikini bottom?
I don't know. Probably bikini bottom.
Yeah, bikini bottom. You can basically see their ass.
Well, what does she mean? Because is she going to do completely naked and covered?
I don't know. While we talk, we're going to find out.
Is that sexier? Because you're seeing less skin.
Yes, it is. You're completely naked and covered?
Yeah, but if your arms are crossed over your breast, you're not...
She said naked but covering nips, obviously. Yeah, all right.
Well, yes, let's make that happen. Rob and Joshua, let's be right back with Katie naked.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
So I have new health insurance due to the, I don't know, whatever happened. It went up, yada, yada, yada.
It's a lot more expensive,
yes.
Right?
Kaiser Permanente. Impressed so far. Oh, they have an app. It's all in one building. You know, I went. I got the pharmacy, blood, everything, one stop. They sent me my test results on my app. I don't have chlamydia. It says it right there. I don't have diabetes.
Talk to Aunt Mom about Kaiser Permanente.
I don't. I like it. Okay, because I'm paying so much more, I'm convincing myself it's worth it. So I will not do that. Well, anyway, I go and I'm meeting with the doctor, and I try to avoid mentioning them a comedian because that leads to questions. But I'm going because we're going to Africa,
right?
And I need to get malaria prevention pills,
right? Which we talked about last week. Were they giant, by the way?
No, they can't be. There's 45, and they're in a. I haven't looked at it yet,
right?
But I don't have to take them until right before. But I could have gone to Andrews Air Force Base, but it seemed like a hassle. So I just do it to my own insurance. So this is my first ever meeting. I've never met with them. So they know that I'm going to a military base in Africa. So he knows that. So he's asking why I'm going. I can't say that I'm in the military. I'm not going to lie and say I'm a soldier. That seems like a word. That's more uncomfortable than telling the truth. So I go, yeah, I'm a comedian. So he's a Korean guy. And he's, oh, well, here's a funny story. You can use this. They always say that. You can use this.
Are you going to use it?
Well, I don't know. You tell me, Joe. He's in his residency. That's what it's called, I guess. Doing whatever the doctor term. He's going through his training, whatever. And he
residency.
Yes. You've heard that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's telling the woman to hold her breath. But because of his accent, she goes, you really want me to hold my breasts? That's the story.
Okay.
So
oh,
now,
that's it?
Yes. So in my act now, I have to tell people
that there are two people that they don't know.
Yeah, or me, that I used to be Korean and a doctor.
And that this other person had this happen to them.
Yes.
It's that joke.
Right.
That they misunderstood the word breath and breast.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
you
it.
You going to use it?
Closer. I'm going to use it at Pat Riley's Christmas party next year.
So I had something on my arm.
Right.
Like something that was growing on there. So like any red-blooded American, I ripped it off.
Yeah.
And then it grew back like, fuck you.
Okay.
All right? So I'm like, I better get this shit checked out. So I go to the doctor, and he's like, you have cancer, right? Oh. So that's not what he said. He goes, it's probably cancer, but there's nothing to worry about. This is something that grows very aggressively above the skin and not hardly any and under the skin. And I'm going to cut it off. And then if it tests to be cancer, we'll cut a little bit more off. You're fine.
Sure.
So they said, but here's what you need to do. You need to pour hydrogen peroxide on it. You need to put Vaseline on it. And then you need to cover it with a Band-Aid. Okay. So I kept, because of inconvenience, never getting any of the things that I needed to do. And by the way, they cut up, it was about that big. How what would you describe it? A dime size?
Yeah, dime.
That's what they cut off.
That's
of my arm.
Big.
It's huge. It was huge. Yeah. And I did not care for it properly. So I started worrying.
Such a guy thing
I
to do.
I started worrying. So now, do you know how you find out if you have cancer nowadays? Do you know how to do it?
No, I don't.
You go online.
Oh, boy.
And you put in three code work. You put in, you know what, I was going to go on there, but Robbie's got a million things up there. You go to My Test Results, you put, you know, your name, your ID, and your PIN, something like that, and then it says, oh, you have cancer. So, you know how long it took them to tell me the results of this?
Months.
It took them, they said it would take up to 2 weeks, and it took fucking 2 weeks for them to tell me. By the way, I'd like to announce I don't have cancer.
Congratulations.
Now, that just means that shit is just growing on me, which is also bad if they could cack it off. But
yeah.
But I don't have cancer.
Well, I have all my blood work if you're interested in all my scores, my cholesterol and everything.
What'd they say?
You know what? I'll give the synopsis, but I do have a little bit of a cholesterol situation here, but everything else is good. Let me go to the Kaiser Permanente app.
You know, I notice...
No, diabetes. My blood sugar levels are excellent.
Well, I notice that about our vices. So, I eat way more than you, but you drink way more than me.
Oh, yeah, because you don't drink at all, and I drink a lot.
No, but I'm saying, whenever you're over and somebody says, hey, you want to have... You always say yes.
Yeah.
When you get offered a drink, I've never heard you say, no, I better not.
That's fair.
Matter of fact, when we're done here and we go to watch the game, I'm going to say, you want something to drink? I guarantee you are going to...
Yep.
You're going to want something. So that has to take its toll, right?
I would think, yeah.
Is that, does that increase your cholesterol?
No, he didn't say anything about that. I mentioned the alcohol.
What did you say? Do you find yourself lying, or do you find yourself telling the truth?
No, I said that can I find this? I said that I have 3 times a week, 3 to 5 drinks. It's not, that's not actually that
off.
No, it's not.
Say what?
Test results. So.
3 to 5 drinks.
So well, I take out the, because occasionally there'll be the night where there's like 10, like in VA Beach. The
other day. Okay, but wait a minute.
And that changes.
So I want to know what you said. You said what you said again?
I said 3 times a week.
Right.
I think I said 3 to 4 drinks per time.
So that you're saying you have about 12 drinks, between 9 and 12 drinks a week.
Yes.
Do you think that that's accurate?
Well, some of the times I'm drinking what are essentially doubles, but I'm calling it one.
Right.
It's not, it used to be, that used to be not even close to being accurate.
Right. Because
that would be 2 days.
Because you realize there's no reason to lie.
No, there isn't.
It only hurts you to lie.
He says, although most of your blood and urine tests were reassuring, including iron level, because we'd mentioned that, you have elevated cholesterol and liver enzyme. There we go. I would strongly recommend you to modify your diet, less fatty fried foods, food high in calories, and increase regular activities and exercise, and repeat the blood tests in 3 to 6 months. Please inform me when you come back from your trip. Have a safe trip. But nothing about alcohol.
Yeah, but you lied to him, so that's why there was nothing. He doesn't
Look,
have.
He
an
did
accurate...
the blood work. It didn't say stop drinking.
All right. Does that? Would there be everything? Be anything in the blood work that would? I mean, I don't even know.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Look, he didn't say it. I'm calling this. I'm
Your
calling this a win.
Is not functioning. So yes, that's when you stop drinking.
I'm calling this successful. We have this brand new studio. Thank you guys for all the feedback. The sound. You appear to be liking it. We put up the pics. A lot of likes on that. We thank you for that. But I do feel now, Joe, and this is going to be more up to you because it's your home, that we could rent this out to people, to podcasts.
Well, it's not up to me.
It's up to Katie.
Yeah, she's not going to let just anybody traipse in and out of this house.
Okay. Well, let's say, for example, Eric Woodworth, who does Quality Time, he and Jeremy and Kim Ambrose, friends of ours, they wanted to use the studio. Would she allow that?
Yeah, but I also would encourage us to not charge them.
Okay, well, I would encourage us to charge them.
What would you charge?
I would charge them $25.
$25 an episode?
Yes.
All right. You charge
that them, adds up.
Yeah, no, I believe me, I understand that. Yeah, if you keep piling it. Hey,
it's $100 a month.
If we had, a podcast every day of the week that what we weren't using, we'd make $150 a week on podcasts based on what you're saying.
You're killing it.
All right.
So would she allow that?
Of course. Yeah, okay. She would definitely allow that.
Let's say it's somebody that you don't know, but they are vouched for by someone like Tommy, Justin, Eric.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she would.
Okay. Let's say it is somebody that we do know and maybe wouldn't care to have in your home, Chris Restivo.
So... if Chris Restivo, first of all, this hypothetical is it's hard to wrap my head around.
Okay.
Because he would never be able to come up with the money necessary to rent this space.
According to him, he's crushing it on cryptocurrency.
I understand.
Tens of thousands of dollars.
Nine bitcoins. I understand. But in reality, he doesn't have any money other than the money that he bilked from the federal government.
Okay.
So if I would encourage her to accept $100 a week. Now, he would never pay that.
Okay. You say her accept. Now, is she getting all this money? What will be the breakdown be?
Well, no, she wouldn't get all of it, but she would get a part of it.
Right.
Because, we would have $5,200 to disperse.
I would get the least amount. Would Robbie, me and Robbie would get the least amount because we're not.
Right, but you all own some of this equipment. This is not my equipment. But
we don't have to be here. We don't have to
worry
about it.
Right, but this is mine. So we would work something out. But yeah, you wouldn't get a giant cut, but you get some. We'd make it work out. But this is not mine. This is ours. We own this.
Yes.
So I don't allow people to. By the way, the other thing is all this stuff that Robbie's doing in terms of recording it, he would need to have some involvement.
Yeah, or unless... No, that's just to record us to get us live. They could record this without...
Oh, they could use one of the other... other programs in there.
What about someone that we don't care for but we know has money, Dan Ninen?
I mean, that's the thing. If Dan Ninen wanted to do a podcast from... Here's the thing. I would be a lot more comfortable with Christopher Stevo being here than Dan Dinan. Because I already know what... First of all, Dan Dinan has been violent.
Yes.
Right? He will also be deceptive.
Yeah.
So he's violent and he's deceptive, and now he's in my home.
He could be searching like child porn and then have it so that it comes back to, you know, your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I hear what you're... Yeah,
he could do things like that.
He could. So that would be a lot different because I would need to police it.
Yes. But there is a price.
Yeah, I'd have to sit in here.
Yeah.
But he would not be willing to pay... Because what I would charge for him to use this, he could just buy his own equipment.
Right. What if he wanted to do a podcast with you?
I kid you not. If he said, I'll pay you $200 a week to do a podcast with me, I would say no.
Yeah. $300?
$300 a week to do a podcast. I have a little more than $15,000.
And all the money you'd make off that podcast.
How is it an hour long?
Yeah.
It's $300 a week?
Yeah, you got to get a little early, get here early, pre-show, post-show, wrap up. You know, it's an hour and a half commitment each week.
Hour and a half each week, he gives me $300.
Yeah.
And we do the show together.
In the same room, in here, in your home.
Yeah, I'd do it.
All right.
By the way, I'm not the only person... That, you know, I also have to get Katie's buy-in.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, and also I would say, hey, to a few people, you know, hey, I need you here in case he comes in with a gun or whatever it is that he might be capable of.
What if you had to sort of be his yes man? Like, go along with what he's saying.
It would be more. To just be like...
Yeah, oh, clean comedy is the only way to go. I don't respect comics that tell dirty jokes.
I regret my whole career.
Okay.
I don't know what that price is, but I mean, here's the thing. So in my opinion, he has some mental stability issues.
Yeah.
Again, and he's violent, and also he doesn't like me.
It's a bad combination.
Yeah. I mean, I would have to be so careful with something like that.
We'd get some downloads on that, though.
Yeah, we would.
So our buddy Kurt Shackelford, a local comedy booker, you know, we've read some of these before in the past. He will email us. He gets emails regarding weird, strange gigs that people want to hire a comedian for. So here's one. There's a couple, actually, but this is a particularly horrible one. Looking for a clean comedian who might appeal to a younger audience. Launching a program in Northern Virginia for teens in foster care to encourage them to set career goals. Looking for a younger comic, 18 to 24, but older is fine. It's Saturday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day, during the day, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with lunch, and pays $100. Also, it has games after that he wanted the comedian to host.
Okay, so for $100, he wants an 18 to 24-year-old, which, by the way, every comic's horrible at that age.
Yes.
Okay? So you want a horrible comic.
For it looks to be at least 4 hours.
For $100? God, whoever they get for that's going to be the worst gig ever. Ever.
Well, the only person that would take it is the person who couldn't do it well.
Yeah, nobody with any chops is going to do that gig.
No.
Nobody. You think Tom Myers would do that gig?
Who could we recommend that would do this? That could be entertaining.
That could.
They would at least give us an update.
Oh,
like we could pay Eric Woodworth to do it.
Yes, he would do it. Yeah. I mean, there are people that like again, I mentioned Tom Myers that would do it. They don't have anything else to do. They have no good bookings, and they would do it, and they would just eat it horribly. But so would we.
Of course. And I'm not sure how comedy ties into this is an event to encourage them to set career goals. Well, watching a comic bomb, it's not inspiring.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I don't want to do.
Yeah, right. Okay. I guess I better go to college. So maybe that's the logic of it.
Do you have to write special material for kids who don't know their parents and that don't know what they want to do for a living?
I would imagine, but I can speak to having done shows for for that age before, and especially now, they're not, they're going to hate everything because they're, first of all, that's the cool thing to do.
Yeah.
Is to collectively hate on this person.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Right.
So you have no chance, unless you're some famous celebrity who obviously wouldn't be doing it for $100. Or some YouTube Vine star or whatever that we'd never heard of, they might know. But you and I would have no chance. What about this one?
Well, hold on. Let me jump back to that. What about Antoine Dotson? I mean, he could do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that he could do the stand-up, but he could go there, host the games. They'd like him.
Yeah. You want to reach out to him?
Probably for $100 you would get him.
Now, this one, they already have the headliner booked somehow. Private Party, 22418, Culpeper, Virginia. MC, 10 minutes, $200, real money. Featured, 25 minutes, $300. So, okay, at least it's real money. For high school fundraiser, so must do clean sets. Mm-hmm. So, I assume this is for adults then. Because I did a gig at, what's that school in Baltimore, the private school that... Keith Mills talks about a lot. That's all
Cardinal
boys
Gibbons.
School.
Is it Cardinal Gibbons?
No, all
Archbishop
men.
Curley.
All men's school. Like a good football team, all boys school.
Calvert Hall?
Yes, Calvert Hall. So I've done a fundraiser there with Mickey and I forget, I think it was Pete Eibner probably, where it was kids and I think it was the fathers. It was father-son thing. And that went okay, but if the kids are there, that changes the dynamic. Because clean is one thing, but just talking about drinking is clean, but that's still not going to work.
Yeah, yeah, you can't. Well, these guys don't, they don't, if they know about it, they're in trouble.
Right, but you can't, the adults are going to clam up because you're talking about that, so they can't laugh to make it seem like it's fun.
How much time did you do with this show?
I only did about 10, 15. I remember thinking if I had to do a minute more, it was about to go bad. I remember thinking I just got
right.
it in.
Yeah, you just got out with your life.
Right, and then Mickey went up there and just told stories. Well, who knows if they were real, but yeah.
And yeah. Crushed.
Yeah, of course, he crushed, yeah. So, interested in this, 25 minutes for $300, clean in front of in Culpeper, Virginia.
I couldn't do 25. I couldn't do 10 minutes clean. I couldn't.
You could just talk to the crowd.
Yeah, I could do crowd work, but even then, that's hard for me to do. I mean, you think about even when I was in Annapolis, and this girl got up from the table. You can't call somebody a whore.
Yeah, you know, I think about that, and I remember, you know, when you first start doing comedy, your first paid gig that you would try to get at a real club would be an MC, where generally you're going to be clean. And I remember thinking 10 minutes clean is hard. And I'm about 20 years in now. It's still hard.
It's as hard as it was when it's harder. It's so funny. I heard Jerry Seinfeld on Howard Stern, and he said, okay, you don't have to be clean, but tell your joke clean. Is it funny? And I'm thinking, no, it's not funny. it's not funny. The jokes, unless, like, I think about the joke I tell about the slumber sack. The punchline is, I know there's a vagina in there. That's the punchline.
Right.
Well, what am I supposed to say?
Yeah, I think you can. That falls under the category of clean.
I guess I could say, I know there's a naked woman in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I could say it would get a laugh if I said that.
Well, I just wrote a new joke that's been doing really well, and it is clean. But I find myself cursing in it just because that makes it punch more. And now it's no longer clean, even though it is clean and everything about it is clean. And I'm like, why do I do that? Is that a crutch?
Well, what about the fact that it might just be you? Here's the deal. I want, and I've said this my whole career, even when I wasn't very good to when I got very good to even now when I'm just not doing it anymore. Mm-hmm. Just use your own voice, whatever that is. Whatever your own voice is, because whenever you, and every time, and I think about my good friends, Todd and Taylor Leatherberry.
The comedy twins.
When we were in the 80s, they had this very vaudevillian, performance-heavy act. They are skits as much as they are anything else.
Yeah.
And they're in character, and their punchlines are delivered like this.
Yeah.
And as it evolved, it was antiquated. Nobody liked that as much as they did back then.
It's what Dr. Gill's doing today.
Right. So what I always say is, if your own voice is where you would say fucking shit every once in a while, then let that be the voice that you use on stage. If you don't, then don't. But appear natural, because the first, as important as your jokes are, your performance is just as important. And if you look uncomfortable or unnatural, the audience sees through it. Even if they don't consciously see through it, they do.
No, you're right. But the idea is if it, if you're trying to get a 7 minute, 5 minute, you know, Tonight Show set, this is a joke that could easily work, play in there. But if I do it the way I'm doing it now, which I know is the best way to get laughs in front of a real live normal audience, but therefore, then does it make it unnatural for me to tell it clean without curse words? And is that, is, so should I think big picture on that joke, or should I just think, when I, my default is make these 150 people in front of me laugh, and by saying giving a motherfucker in there will help it.
How long have you been doing stand up?
Oh, this is, I'm coming up 20 years in May, or to sometime this spring.
Well, if you don't have your Tonight Show set yet.
No, I mean, but I want to do stuff that I still like, and when I can, but I know that the default to make people laugh in my voice, there's going to be some curse words that aren't necessary in terms of,
well, let me,
the joke.
Let me say this. When I think about, I'm not talking about getting laughs. I'm talking about whipping them up in a frenzy.
Yeah.
When you are able to do that, every time I've been able to do that, I've been dirty.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm in search of.
Right.
It doesn't mean that I have to do that, but if that's my goal, to get them just yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, you can't do that talking about the experience you just had on the airline. You can't.
No,
they,
you
might
really
laugh,
can't.
But to, you know, again, I saw Jerry Seinfeld. I laughed. But it wasn't, I mean, this is the truth. Nobody in the world would argue that Mickey Coachella is a better comic than Jerry Seinfeld. But I've seen an audience frenzied for a Mickey Coachella show, like I've seen Jerry Seinfeld three times, but the point is that, and that's because of the intimacy of the club.
Yeah,
it's because of the type of people that are there, who he is resonating with because of where he came from and who they are, and because he's filthy.
Yep. Hey, maybe you can get Mickey on when I'm gone.
Yeah, give him a call.
There you go. Mickey, Gramps, Tawanda, Justin.
All the greats.
Thank you, guys. We will try to have the normal show with Robbie involved next week. Stay, keep with us. But we appreciate all the patrons for helping out and really paying for this new fancy studio that will be working 100% before you know it. I think that's it, right?
That's it.
Later, guys.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.